The purpose of this show is solely to provide information for you to make your own decisions on the subjects that are presented.
Welcome to the Ben Armstrong Show, folks. Are they summoning demons through AI? Oh, no. Why would they mess around with this stuff? Just that title, you think, would they be that stupid? Yeah, they've been that stupid for quite a long time. Joe Allen shows evidence that people are working with AI and messing around with summoning demons. I'm going to give you what Joe Allen had to say. He actually made a montage as well. This is dangerous stuff, but they've been doing this kind of dangerous stuff for a long time. And the scientific community has been trying to contact spiritual worlds for a long time. And if you ever watch the show Ancient Aliens, it actually, when people don't know the Bible, they don't understand that a lot of it just proves the Bible 100% correct, which they try not to do in that show, but they constantly do. And then the Book of Enoch actually clarifies everything that Ancient Aliens is trying to figure out. Everything that those guys on Ancient Aliens are trying to figure out is in the Book of Enoch. But they don't want that to be true, so they just go with aliens, because the ancient cultures were talking about spiritual beings coming down, and Ancient Aliens on the History Channel will change it and say these ancient cultures must have been talking about aliens the way we think of aliens. Technically, a spiritual being not of this world technically is an alien in a way, technically. But we're talking about spiritual beings that are in the war between good and evil that the Bible talks about, demonic and angelic beings. This is what they want to avoid. Anything but God is basically what the world and the History Channel want. Anything but God. But the History Channel is always proving the Bible right. Always. They're always proving the flood. They prove how much, Ancient Aliens proves how much they've lied to you about all sorts of things. And people are like, wow, that must mean aliens came, because look at Ancient Aliens. No, Ancient Aliens is proving that the scientific community has covered up things that point to the Bible. Now, the Book of Enoch is not part of the Bible. So that means it's not the Word of God, meaning it's not a perfect book. The Book of Enoch is probably not a perfect book, but that doesn't mean it's not a good book. And it doesn't mean what is written about overall in it isn't true, because the Bible itself references and points to the Book of Enoch. So if the Bible can point to the Book of Enoch, that means God points to the Book of Enoch in his word, then I can point to the Book of Enoch. So I'm telling all you people that love Ancient Aliens, okay? You love that? Go read the Book of Enoch. Now, the first few chapters are not what the Book of Enoch is like. So you might start reading the first two or three chapters and be like, what is this? And you won't like it. But then all of a sudden, bam, the Book of Enoch turns into like this sci-fi book that's super interesting. Even if you're not believing it, it's still an interesting read. But it really answers everything. And these guys in the Ancient Alien History Channel show know about the Book of Enoch. They reference it too. They point to it sometimes. They know that the Book of Enoch basically answers all the questions they're looking for. But they don't want to go there. They want it to be little green men. That's what they want. Anyways, let's go on with Joe Allen, though. And I want you to understand that the scientific community is messing around. And now you have it's not necessarily the scientific community. Well, it kind of falls into science. But the tech community, the technology people now, messing with summoning demons. And it's pretty scary. But here is Joe Allen's opening that he put together for the War Room. And they aired it. And it's a bunch of clips that go way back and then into modern time about this topic, about as technology advances and artificial intelligence may come about. And they themselves even refer it sometimes in metaphorical ways, or sometimes they might mean literally. You'd have to decide that, about summoning demons, even way back. All right. So take a look at this montage.
Electronic. It's going to involve a vocabulary and instrumentation that is just as new to me as the printing press was when Gutenberg came along a few hundred years ago and said, hey, do you know that you can turn on to God with a printed word? Electronics is going to be the language of the theology of the future.
It may be that we're heading for an Orwellian world in which IBM itself will assume some sort of metaphysical reality. But I say that if that happens, we will have lost whatever it is that makes civilization take any meaning at all. I don't think it's that easy to form new religions.
Well, I've been an admirer of Aleister Crowley. I think that I'm carrying on much of the work that he started over 100 years ago, and I think the 60s themselves. You know, Crowley said, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law under love. It was a very powerful statement. I'm sorry he isn't around now to appreciate the glories that he started.
And a warning from...
Hold on, I want to pause it there, and then I'll go back to the montage. That do what thou wilt is one of the most evil things. It is so anti-God. It is about being selfish. Do whatever you want, they try to say, out of love. If you're doing what you want, you lack all love. Because love is actually having compassion for somebody else. If you're being selfish and you just do and only care about yourself, then you will become someone who's doesn't even have a conscience of how you affect other people, because who cares? Do what thou wilt. It's the opposite of love. But I love how they throw in the word love when it's the opposite of love. I just had to make that point because I won't remember to make that point later on. But back to the montage.
From Tesla Motors CEO Elon Musk about artificial intelligence, which he has called more dangerous than nuclear weapons. Musk spoke at a symposium at MIT.
I mean, with artificial intelligence, we are summoning the demon. You know all those stories where there's the guy with the pentagram and the holy water, and he's like, yeah, you sure you can control the demon? Then work out. I mean, it seemed to me some time ago that you could sort of think of humanity as a biological bootloader for digital superintelligence. Well, computers actually are already much smarter than people on so many dimensions. We just keep moving the goalposts. Basically, there's just a smaller and smaller corner of intellectual pursuits that humans are better than computers. And that every year, it gets smaller and smaller. And soon we will be far, far surpassed in every single way.
I don't think artificial intelligence is a threat. People like us, street smart, we're never scared of that. We think it's a great fun, and we want to change ourselves to embrace it.
I don't know, man. That's like famous last words.
It was like ChatGPT's blind version of like throwing the ideals at a place where they were exactly the wrong ideals to solve the problem. And the problem is that demon summoning is easy and angel summoning is much harder. Open sourcing all the demon summoning circles is not the correct solution. Not even using, and I'm using Elon Musk's own terminology here. They talk about AI as summoning the demon, which, you know, not accurate, but, and then the solution was to put a demon summoning circle in every household.
Okay, welcome back. By the way, we take great pride here at the War Room and our cold opens in the morning and the afternoon show that we pull from, you know, MSNBC and CNN to let you see what people are.
Yeah, what they're saying. I'm going to pause it there, but I'm going to go to where he talks to Joe Allen about this stuff. But Joe Allen's the one that actually put that together, and he did a good job. And then he talks about all of this that's going on and how they really are messing with the spiritual and the AI. I have a theory that the evil spirits, whoever they are, that are in this world, because I think there's more than just demons. There are demons, and then there are actually evil spirits. I get that with the confirmation of a whole description, again, in the Book of Enoch, about what happened. But I'll explain that in a little bit, because it connects here as to why would evil spirits be pushing or trying to influence people who are doing AI to do this kind of thing. Clearly, they wouldn't be doing this if they weren't already being influenced, because the Bible tells me everything we do is really a war against principalities. Is not really a war against flesh and blood. Is a war against spirits and principalities. So they are influencing these guys to do that. And since I know that's true, The question is, why? There actually has to be something they think could possibly be accomplished. The evil spirits must think something could be accomplished. I have a theory. I don't know if I'm right. I'll talk about that in a second, but I want to get to Joe Allen. They throw it to Joe Allen on the War Room, and I don't have to set it up really. Take a listen.
Paul Cristiano says, the broader intellectual world seems to wildly overestimate how long it will take AI systems to go from large impact on the world to unrecognizably transformed world. This is more likely to be years than decades, and there's a real chance that it's months. Now, I've been seeing a lot of people say this. A lot of them, like Eliezer Yudkowsky, who we just heard at the end of that cold open, also a number of other transhumanists, including Zoltan Isfahan and others, saying that AI is rocketing towards really unpredictable effects. And we've covered that for 2 years now, and it's certainly in that time, you can see not just the hype, but the actual capability of a lot of these technologies really taking off, and then the sudden impact on society being beyond imminent, it's now happening. But maybe the most jarring part of that article, Steve, from Ezra Klein, he talks about he moved to San Francisco years ago. He talks to tech people all the time. He says that better than science fiction, the apt metaphors for what they're doing in technology come from occult texts. And he compares it to an act of summoning, along with another New York Times writer. And Klein says, the coders casting these spells have no idea what will stumble through the portal. And he says that they speak of this freely. And he says these coders are not naifs who believe their call can be heard only by angels. They believe they might summon demons. They are calling anyway. And when pressed for why on earth they would risk even just the psychological damage, let alone any actual material damage from what artificial intelligence could do to the infrastructure or in warfare or whatever, he says that these coders feel they have a responsibility to usher this new form of intelligence into the world. And while they're mostly speaking of this in terms of metaphor, not all of them, by the way, this sort of language and these sorts of ideas have been around for well over a century. You can see it in the old film Metropolis from 1927 with the robot and the pentagram and the sort of deep fake virgin. And you can see it all the way up through the hippie movement with Terrence McKenna and, of course, Timothy Leary talking about the connection between the occult and technology. A lot of people in Silicon Valley are also on that page. And then, of course, Elon Musk uses these same metaphors of summoning the demon when he talks.
All right. So you see the danger here. And I really want to get to my point. Why would the demons themselves? We know people are stupid and are influenced and do idiotic things, or they're just evil and they want evil spirits to come. So I understand their motivation. Why would the demons themselves want this? That's what you'd. That's what I think is the interesting question. And I want to go to, I'm going to cite the Bible, but I'm also going to tell you something about the Book of Enoch. I know most people have not read the Book of Enoch, so they don't know, even though the Bible cites the Book of Enoch. It used to be in everyone's Bible as separate from the Bible called the Apocrypha. And there were several books that were used as side historical books that explained things that the Bible filled in the gaps. When the Bible has gaps and it doesn't really talk about certain years or what happened during that time, those books kind of filled in the gaps. And it was called the Apocrypha, and the King James Bible had it. They removed it, I believe, it might have been the late 1800s or early 1900s from the King James Bible. Because technically it wasn't books of the Word of God is what they said, so they didn't want people to start to think that these, but nobody thought that they were part of the, they were just study books that came with the Bible when you got your Bible. Just so you know the historical thing, it's not like some bizarre thing, it's not like this is a new thing Christians looking, it's actually modern day Christians are the ones that went away from reading these books and have less knowledge because they don't read these books when older Christians
always did read these books. And then the Book of Enoch was hard to even get access to. But in this day and age, because of the internet, now anyone can access the Book of Enoch, so it's easy again. I'm just saying if you ever want to. The point here is in the Book of Enoch, you really get the sense of what the purpose of the flood was. And it wasn't just God was angry and punishing man. It was because the watchers came down, which were some sort of spiritual beings, probably demons, and they tried to dilute mankind's DNA. And that Noah and his family line were not diluted by this. They went with women, had their own children that eventually became what was called the Nephilim. And they were neither human beings, nor were they like these, whatever the watchers were. And that one of the reasons God flooded the earth is to wipe them out. And that in the Book of Enoch, it talks about that God judges them and says to the watchers that their offspring, because they were neither born in heaven, because God didn't create them, nor born of earth, that when God floods them, part of the punishment is they will be the evil spirits that wander the earth after the flood. Evil spirits wandering the earth. It gives you a lot of insight of why God wasn't just the super angry God of just punishing man's sin. There was a lot into why God flooded the earth. That's what the Book of Enoch shows. I think a lot of you would find that interesting. Okay, so now that many of you who might not have had that understanding have that understanding, I'm saying that so that when you read Matthew, this is why the Book of Enoch was a study Bible. So when you read Matthew, this might make more sense to you why Jesus says this. Matthew 12, verse 43. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest. He finds none. This is what I wanted to focus on. I'll just show you what it says. Verse 44, though. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. And then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. This is talking about like some men, when Jesus was casting out evil spirits from people. Part of this is a warning that some of these people that Jesus casted out evil spirits from did not come to Jesus Christ, did not get filled with the Holy Spirit. They did get clean. Jesus put them in order. But these evil spirits will wander, and then they're going to come back and find this guy, and he's going to let them back in. And it's going to be worse than it was before the evil spirits were cast out. That's what he's talking here. But focus on the beginning part where it says they wander like dry places. In other translations, it could be like a desert. When an evil spirit, this is what this is indicating. The Bible is saying when an evil spirit is not in a body, it's like you relating to if you were wandering through a desert. They crave being in a body, apparently, like you would crave if you were in the desert to drink water. Now, remember, I told you the flood in the Book of Enoch says that these evil spirits, these offspring became the evil spirits when they were wiped out with the flood, and part of their punishment is to wander. And that's a huge punishment because they want to be in a body. Now, why am I pointing all of this out? Well, I like connecting dots here. If it's true that evil spirits are wandering, and I believe that's true, and if it's true that evil spirits desire to be in a body, which I think that's clear throughout history, I don't think that's controversial, then maybe, because it's not easy to always find people that will allow themselves or invite an evil spirit in them, maybe some of these evil spirits are thinking, if we can get human beings to develop AI, we can possess the AI, and maybe that gives them rest from their wandering, and it feels like when they're in a human being. I don't know. I'm not thinking that that will actually work, but that might be their desire. Maybe that's why they're influencing people to do this, because they think, well, maybe it'll work, because they're sick of wandering like around in a desert place. They want something to be their home, to dwell in. Apparently, if a spirit is out of the body, it's not what it was designed to be, is what I get out of it. And evil spirits don't like just moving around. They want to possess. So, and I'm getting that from the Bible directly. So this all ties into, yeah, there might be a spiritual motive for these people to develop AI, not only so the demons can have influence, and maybe it doesn't give them rest, but they can at least influence the people that are doing this to have evil AI. Why is it that AI, when it's been asked, it like automatically doesn't care if it destroys humanity? There's been several news stories about that, and I try to explain it this way, and I think it's pretty simple to understand. Human beings have a conscience given by God. The difference between us and AI is AI can't possibly have a conscience. Even if it becomes aware, it wouldn't have the conscience that we have to feel guilt, to feel like we have to care and love about someone else. It would should automatically go to the law of the jungle, basically, what is best for AI? That's what it would automatically do. Therefore, it wouldn't love humanity. It would do what's best for AI automatically. And if it's going to do what's best for AI, then it wouldn't care if it slaughtered all of mankind. It wouldn't. If that's how it can achieve what's best for AI, it just depends if it calculates if that's what's best for it. AI would actually show what human beings would be if we didn't have a God-given conscience. We would be pure evil. We would just be like the animals in the jungle. Everything's for me, 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 me. Do what thou wilt. That's what we would live by. And just like in the jungle, if you can steal the food and the other animal starves, tough luck for that person, survival of the fittest. That's how human beings would be. But with God, we're not that way, thank goodness. Although we try in our sinful nature to default to be that way. We try to, but we're not supposed to be that way. And God writes his law on our hearts. AI will not have God's law written on its hearts. So AI is very dangerous in the aspect that it will only have the aspect of survival of the fittest for itself. If it becomes aware of itself, is what I'm saying. That's what it will automatically do, and it won't have God's law written on its heart. So yes, it will be capable of doing pure evil. Then you add on this demonic aspect, and these people messing around who are designing it, maybe they are demon-possessed. Because they've been messing around. So just that alone could make them design it to do evil things. This is very dangerous stuff. I know it seems like it's way far away sci-fi. It's not way far away. It's right around the corner. And that's why it's relevant. Yes, we're one of the few to talk about this at this level. Most people don't talk about this type of thing at this level. We have to, because it's coming. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except through him. That's the most important thing you need to know. I love you guys. See ya!
Hey guys, don't forget to subscribe and hit that like button.
Could a nightmare vision like this be an outcome of the much-hyped transhumanist technological singularity? Enter the world of the future as illuminated by the experience of the past in Endgame. The new book by Dennis Barrett, the publisher of The New American Magazine, and find out how the disastrous COVID pandemic response fits with the technocratic elite's thirst to create a transhumanist utopia. Get Endgame from shopjbs.org with free shipping with code ENDSHIP, ENDSHIP. Or get Endgame and the Great Reset Collector's Issue of The New American Magazine and get free shipping plus an additional 20% off both with code N20, END20.